think that's come out yet, and that's kind of what we're waiting for. On, I mean, we have several things that are almost ready to go, I think, but we're waiting that time, or at least a couple of things that are almost ready to go. So I'm not sure. I don't think we can send out the survey until we have the cover letter.
Could we perhaps just decide on somebody who will chair the meeting and perhaps get moving along?
Did you say Thomas Ressler was on the line?
Yes.
Thomas, can I nominate you? Since you're from outside the constituencies?
If I can't keep you from doing this.
Okay, it's an idea.
Now, Kathy, may I nominate you?
Oh, whose voice was that?
That was David Maher.
David Maher. You know what? I'm going to decline this meeting just because so much has come out in the last few hours. But thank you, David.
Just wondering, maybe someone could run off past whatever came out last hour. I have a strong impression on this email.
Or maybe it did.
Is there any objection to that chair, or would it be possible to move on with Tom as the chair?
No objection.
No objection.
Great. Thomas, is that okay?
Okay. I was not precisely prepared. You have to forgive me that I have another look at the agenda, but I can do it. I can attempt to.
Alternatively, Tom Keller, is there anyone kind of who's ready to lead this? Tom Keller?
I can do it. I will be stumbling at some point. So, first point on the agenda was the cover letter, and the question is whether other career task forces would ask questions to the GAC, and I suppose it would have been input from Barbara, so we will have to defer that. Is that correct? I take silence as a yes. Second point on the agenda is the proposed easy-to-read data element chart that Jordan has posted. The chart went out on Sunday, 11th of January, and basically has just the data elements but does not list where these data elements occur. So if there is any discussion on this, I would like to open a queue.
Wait, can we just do the whole agenda first?
Okay,
so we know.
Okay, whole agenda. The next point would be some information from Jordan about the CTTLE survey, where he was supposed to contact Elizabeth Postanov. You were supposed to report about OECD's material, Kathy. We have the updated chart with the name in it, and Tom was volunteered to provide CTTLD questions. In any event, now let's return to Jordan's data elements. As I said, this is a list which has basically general information, registrar, technical contact, administrative contact, and billing contact, but that does not list where these data elements are used and where they aren't. So anyone want to discuss this? Queue is open.
This is Steve Metallitz. I think this is a good way to proceed. I think we may have to modify the questions that are asked a little bit to reflect the fact that this is kind of a composite list. But I think it's probably the best way to proceed so that we don't get too bogged down in all the details of which who is as which elements. There are some elements missing from this list, but I think this Jordan's feeling was they didn't have that much privacy, much of a privacy impact. I don't know if others agree with that, but I think I'm comfortable with this list.
Any other comments?
Who did we say this list was going to?
That's a good question.
I think the idea was that this list would go as the cover letter to the survey that's sent out to the constituencies, in which they're asked how do you use these data elements and which ones are necessary. And so,
right.
So the idea was to say, here's the list. But I think we do need some language in there that's in the cover letter that says this is a composite list. Not every who is service has all of these elements. So the problem is we have a question that says what our second question says, what elements would you like to see and who is. And in some cases, people might like to see elements that are already on this list because they're not present in the largest category of who is. Responses. So I think we may need to tweak the question to reflect the fact that we have a composite list.
Tweak the introduction, right. Okay, I agree. The list makes sense, and it is a good overview, and it doesn't get everybody stuck in too much of the detail.
Actually, I think I would like to add one set of detail myself to that list, and that set of detail would be to maybe footnote those data. Well, I think it goes in the same direction as what Steve suggests, to footnote those data elements which are, well, not common across registries and which are not common across registrars and SIC registries. This would concern, in particular, the registrant email address, phone number, fax number, and billing contact information. I think we should flag this difference. Billing contact, for instance, is not does not need to be published by registrars. It is not published by .org, but it's published by the other SIC registries. I think this is valuable background information that should be included, but that can certainly be done in the footnote. Any thoughts on that?
No objection.
Anyone else? I will note that we will basically accept Jordan's list as a basis for proceeding with the question, and we'll footnote the most prominent differences. Okay, I put it like that. Good. Next point on the agenda was any response from Elizabeth Portenov about the CCTLD survey. This was, I suppose, about a survey that Andrew is planning to do. Does anyone have any information about this? Glenn, maybe?
No, I've got no direct information except that I know from conversation with Elizabeth that questions will be very welcome to be included in the CCTLD survey, and that it in fact it reaches out to not only the CCTLDs in centre, but a much broader base, a much broader population.
Did Elizabeth indicate any timing?
I think that it is on the go now, and 16th of January is a date that I recall being the day when it will go out.
But if we want to add questions, we have to do so today.
I think so, yes.
Okay. Anyone else comment on or any further information on this survey? If not, I would like to move the CCTLD questions to the front so we can move on with these and maybe finalize them today. Tom had circulated draft CCNSO questions on January 8th. These were three questions. and there was a little follow-up discussion. So, and I believe we had mostly agreement, and I also believe that Tom had put together a summary. Maybe, Tom, you can walk us through these briefly?
Sure, just have to define myself. One second. You want me to read it, or what we had is that I circulated some question, and we had two remarks on it, and I included both of the remarks the way they were stated into my set of questions. So I haven't heard anything anything except of that. So I would propose that we just move on with the set of questions I have. To read them out is, the first one would be, is there a privacy regulation in your country which has effects on your Yahoo's policy, and if yes, what regulations are there, and how are they implemented? The second question would be, do you have or had contact to a local official privacy body in regard to this, and could you facilitate the contact for informational purposes? What contact? That's the third question now. What contact data do you collect from registrants, and to whom is the data made available? The fourth question is a question which was added by Steve. Do you obtain the consent of registrants to the uses of data about them, and if so, how is this consent obtained? The fifth one was amended a little bit by Casey, and it reads, have you changed or are you planning to change your risk policy to suit your local privacy regulation? So that's, they're all pretty much straightforward, and I would suggest that we just forward them to the CCTLDs.
What kind of introductory material do you think should be on this? Do we think as a group should be on this? Just a cover letter? Or...
Well, we do have a little preface on that.
You do.
We have like three paragraphs which say what we are and what we are after. So we can send that out without the preface. I think they know enough about who it is that they can answer the questions if they ever had anything to do with privacy.
We actually should hope that these questions maybe provide some kind of guidance for the summary, which is prepared by the CCTLD community, so we will probably see a I would expect that we may see a digested version of these questions in the actual survey. I think that would be an appropriate course of action for the CCTLD community to take. So,
Thomas, this is Steve. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah, please. Anyone else in the queue?
Kathy, yeah.
Stephen Coffey, anyone else? Okay, Steve?
Yeah, do we know, Kathy's question really provoked another question in my mind. Do we know what the CCTL, what Elizabeth and her colleagues are planning to ask in the survey? I don't know if this duplicates what they're planning to ask, or just exactly what they're trying to find out. Maybe we don't know the answer to that question, and we can just send these as a suggestion. But as Thomas says, it's up to them to decide what to include.
It may be a question for Glenn. Glenn, do we know what's in the survey? I don't think so.
I have no idea, Kathy.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't really know what we're adding to here.
So if we don't add to it, that's not that much. Because
But it's not, the center survey, even though it's going out to more people, may not be going to all the same people that we'd be hitting, right? Sorry to jump the queue.
I think we're talking about submitting this for inclusion in the center survey, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. But we're also talking about sending it out separately, aren't we?
No.
Well, I guess we have to find out two things. First of all, we don't know precisely what the broad population the center will survey is. We have a very tight deadline with respect to center. What I would like to do is to accept the questions that Tom has drafted as they are now, forward these questions to Elizabeth Bostonos for inclusion into the center survey, and then ask Elizabeth more precisely about the scale of the survey, and if we find the scale of the survey insufficient for our purposes, that would be an agenda item next time. We can still briefly work on the introduction and then ask questions to other CCTLDs. Does it sound reasonable?
Kathy, no, I think I had a real sense in Tunisia that center is very independent, that they very much do kind of their own thing, and I'm not sure. I don't know. I just, as much as I wouldn't mind their including it, I don't know how long their survey is. I don't know what the time frame for their survey is. I thought that we were going to circulate our survey separately. I wouldn't mind having overlap, but I still think we should keep our independence about circulating it. Because we don't have any indication right now that center will accept it. They're on their last deadline. They may have, you know, reviewed, they may have had their survey reviewed, you know, by 50 people already and signed off. I thought we were going to send it to the, what was it, the CCNSO charter organization?
Launching group, whatever.
Launching group. I still think we should do that.
We should probably ask with both. Work with both, yes. Tom?
Yeah, I would agree on that. We should send it out to the CCNSO as well. So, I mean, just, we shouldn't take chances with that. So there's no harm in sending one questionnaire to the same person twice. So I would just do it for both of us.
Okay. Any further discussion on this?
This is Steve Metallich. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah. Anyone else? Steve?
Yeah, especially if we don't have a deadline of the Elizabeth Portnoy survey, I would suggest I don't have any problem with these questions, but they were first circulated, I think, on Friday. This is the next business day. We've got a couple of constituencies not present, so I would suggest that if we can give the other constituencies, if they have any further input on these questions, another 24 hours to offer it before we forward this, or maybe longer if we're not going to use the Elizabeth Portnoy route. But if we are, let's at least give people another 24 hours to react if they have any questions or concerns about these questions.
Don't we miss the center deadline?
The center deadline's Friday, as I understand it.
Oh, I apologize. Okay.
If everybody's okay with that, then I would make a note that we send out whatever version looks final by tomorrow, probably the end of the talk of month call or something like that, and send that to center and to the CCTLD launching group. Is that okay with everyone?
Sure.
Good. Questions to center. Okay. Next point on the agenda is Catherine Kleiman with the OECD material and the updated chart with .name. Well, why don't we just go ahead in that order, and after that we of course have to finalize the gag questions. So I would suggest that we try to walk through these two points relatively quickly. Kathy?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything to report on this, with apologies. What I've been doing is talking to EPIC and just looking for where all these materials would be available online, if they are available online. And I'll put together a list I'll get back to the list in a day or two, and I'll also just put together a whole set of materials on where we can find privacy laws and if they cost, how much they cost, if they're available online or in hard copy. But anyway, with apologies, I don't have an answer on this one today.
Okay. Thank you. I think someone joined.
Hi, this is Maggie Mansorkia with ISCCP. Sorry I'm late. I was held up in another meeting.
Hi, Maggie. Welcome to the call. This is Thomas. I'm chairing for today since Jordan is absent, and we are approaching the end of the written agenda, but we have one more point, and that's finalizing the gag questions. So the next point we have in the agenda is the updated chart with .name. I circulated that update shortly after the last call. What .name has, according to the contract, is no less than four different access levels. There are access levels which have basically just the IDs for registrant and contact objects. keys are opaque database keys which don't make any sense outside of the registry database or registry-registrar relationship maybe. There are different levels which make personally identifiable information available. In actual implementation, the password protected access seems not to be available, and the lightest level of password protected access is actually available without any protection and is also the default for the name port 43 who is. In practice, this puts the name in the same category as most other SIG registries with respect to the data elements available. As I said, this has been circulated and should be available to everyone. Anyone want to add anything to this point? It was open. If that...
Should we make it a separate link on our site so it's easy for people to find?
We could make, this sounds reasonable, we should probably make the data element chart available from the website and may wish to reference it in whatever material we send out. So if people want more detailed information, they can get it from there. What do people think about that?
That's a good idea. Maybe we should do that with all the question material we have and we give out to certain groups of people so that everybody is informed about what we ask the whole world.
We could even put, if there's a URL, we could even add it to, I don't want to get everything too complicated, but to the abridged data elements chart to say if you want further detail.
That was what I was suggesting.
Okay, sorry. Then I agree.
Any discussion?
Well, we're going to ask, I think we had some discussion, this is Steve Metallitz, we had some discussion of asking the registries to review this to make sure it was accurate. Of course, our registry representative, I guess, is not on the call.
David is on the call.
I also think that this was an assignment for Jordan. But, David, do you have any comments on this?
I'm sorry, no, I don't.
So, I seem to recall from the last call that Jordan said such a review could be done quite quickly. Maybe I can just send the chart to you and you can circulate it on the registry constituency for review by, say, Wednesday?
That'd be fine. I will urge them to respond, yes.
Well, I know that PIR did review it, so I will send you the chart.
Thank you.
And for changes by Wednesday. Chart to Maher. Wednesday. And then I think we are still in line with any other timing we may be working on. So finally, the really interesting part of this call is finalizing the question for the GAC. We had original questions by Kathy and quite a bit of discussion about these questions. And we have seen questions from Tom Keller last Friday. And I am under the impression that for most people on the call, Tom's questions are probably a good basis to start. So maybe if Tom can walk us through these questions first, and we can then discuss them with the aim to really finalize them today. Tom?
Okay. There was some remarks from Steve on...
Maybe you start with the questions themselves.
So which one?
Just with the questions. Really
the original questions.
The original questions?
Not Kathy's questions, but your questions. Or if you have an updated proposal, of course, with that.
Okay. So I just... Well, I would even read the preface because that's pretty interesting, I would say. It starts with the Genos O, who is Task Force 2, is chartered with reviewing the current ICANN who is policy regarding the collection, disclosure, and transmittal of data obtained when a domain name is registered. In general, these data elements are domain name, registrant's name, address, phone, and fax number, email address. The same information is collected for administrative and technical contacts. Part of the Task Force charter is to document examples of relevant existing privacy laws, which may inform the task force work and guide us in our decisions. Information including links and copies of laws, regulations, and cases responsive to the following points are of our particular interest. So, now the five questions, I put together, I will read first and then I will read out the substitutes, at least the substitutes Steve put forward on the list. The original question was, first, must the data subject consent to the collection and processing of his data? The second, must the data subject consent to the disclosure of his collected data? Number three, can a data subject withdraw his consent to the disclosure of his data? Number four, has the data subject the right to stay anonymous and not disclose any data? And number five, is there any regulation on the transmittal of personal data to another country? That were the five original questions, and more or less, Steve did some editing on it, and he changed in number one, always data subject to domain registrant, and he specified number one and number five. He added to that sentence a little remark. I just have to. Find out who it is. Okay.
I think
maybe Steve can just read it. Maybe
yeah,
get it.
I think it's easier if Steve just explains the.
Yeah, basically what I did here was to, as Tom said, was to substitute domain name registrant for data subject and make other changes. In other words, number one would read, must a domain name registrant consent to the collection and processing of this data in connection with domain name registration? And then two, must a registrant consent to disclosure of this data? Three, can a registrant withdraw his consent to disclosure of this data? Four, does a registrant have a legal right to stay anonymous and not disclose any data? Five, is there any regulation on the transmittal of personal data in connection with domain name registration to other countries? And then I added a sixth question, but before I go on to that, the aim here was to, rather than just asking about their privacy law generally, was to ask about the law that they view as applicable to domain name registration, because that's what we're talking about here. Now, Tom has commented back just before this call, and I think his point's well taken, that the personally identifiable information that's collected isn't just the domain name registrant's information. There could be, sometimes there is, other personally identifiable information contained in the under technical contact and administrative contact and billing contact. So I think my question might need to be revised to reflect that, but I think the focus of this needs to be on the data that's collected in connection with domain name registration rather than the data that might be collected in some other context. Yeah. Tom, do you want me to go on and talk about my proposed question six?
I think it's better if we can focus on the first five questions first, and we can then work on question six, because this is a new one and a different field. Well, do we have any discussion on Steve's proposed additions? Q is open. Who wants to speak?
I do.
Who else?
Kathy.
Anyone else? Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to repeat more or less what I already said on the list, that I don't really see a reason why we should narrow this question down to domain name registrations. I totally understand where Steve is getting at, but I didn't do a preface for nothing. I mean, we've already written it in the preface, and I guess it explains pretty good what exactly we are asking for. And thought that most of the countries which are out there probably don't even have a real singled out to its regulation. I would feel a little bit uncomfortable asking for just such a thing, you know, if there might be policies which apply as well. So I don't really see a good reason to limit this data or this question to just domain name registrations.
Kelsey?
I just want to go back to a preliminary issue, which is which set of questions. And I know we seem to have moved on, but I just want to say I still like the questions I drafted because I think it makes – they're very consistent with the goals that we were given by the GNSO Council, where it says document examples of this, of existing local privacy laws in regard to display transmittal of data. It doesn't say, you know, it's broadly worded, and that's what we were given. So if I had to accept an alternate to the questions that I initially posed to this group, and, you know, and I'll go with the consensus on switching over, but if I have to accept an alternate, I think Tom's initial version is what comes the closest, because it is, I think, more in keeping with what the GNSO Council has asked us to do. I think it will also yield the information we need to move forward.
Steve, do you want to reply?
Well, yeah, just to say that I think it's kind of implicit in our charter that we're talking about the data that's collected in connection with the domain name registration, not in some other context. So I'm just trying to specify that. If I could back up on this a second, unlike the discussion we just had on the CC questions, where we had at least one imminent deadline, there's another significant loose end here that needs to be tied up. As I see in the minutes, Jordan was asked in the last meeting, or he undertook to ask Suzanne Sen if we could get any of the responses that had already come from the GAC, who is working group questionnaire. And also there's this overarching issue about the most appropriate way to approach the GAC, so, which I don't think has been resolved either, and which I know Barbara had concerns about, and Jordan talked about it too. So I don't think we should feel that we have to finalize these questions today if we don't have a consensus on them, because I think we're going to need to figure out how to pose these questions anyway. In other words, we're not going to be ready to send these out this week, unlike the CC questions, and I hope the questions of the other constituencies once we have a cover letter.
Well, your point about getting feedback from the GAC and further input is well taken, but unfortunately we don't have this input, and I would suggest that this should not keep us from attempting to get consensus on questions, on the questions the task force wants to ask. If revisions are necessary, we may reopen this, but maybe we should proceed under the assumption that, first, these questions have not been covered extensively in the survey that has happened in the GAC, because it was covered, the entire topic was only covered by a single question there. And second,
I object to that assumption.
You object to that. So
we don't know what the responses from the working group say. The responses, the question asked by the GAC working group could elicit exactly the same responses as what we're asking here. We don't know how it's been answered. So that was the thing that
the point is,
was supposed to ask Suzanne to find out. So I'm just
the
saying
point
that
is,
your assumption.
I'm proposing a working assumption. If that assumption proves wrong, we may have to narrow down. We may be in a position that we can narrow down our question. Still, if this information, which was solicited for the purpose of a Who Is workshop, is not sufficient for the purposes of this task force, we need to ask extensive questions, and it would be a good idea for us to finally get these questions to a point where we have some kind of agreement. That's the purpose of making that assumption, and why I'm suggesting that. And given that this is, I believe, the fourth call we are spending on working on the GAC questions, I would strongly suggest that we attempt to come to questions that everybody can live with. Is that approach okay with people? If we don't even have consensus on that,
we don't have consensus on that.
I'll open the queue. Who wants in? Tom, Kathy, who else?
Steve.
Who else?
Steve.
Yeah, okay. I got you. Tom, Kelsey, Steve. Anyone else?
Maggie.
Okay.
Can I start? Okay.
Yep, go ahead.
It's just a question for Steve. So one thing I'm not sure about what I understand is not is why. Well, you know, I don't see a problem with asking the GAG to answer questions. If they don't want to answer these questions, they don't. I mean, they're old adult persons, and they know whether they already answered the question or not. And if they don't like so, they will tell us. And I don't really know why we should treat the GAG with claws all the time. I mean, we don't do that with other constituencies. And since GAG is just another working body inside of ICANN, we should kind of treat them like that. I can understand the argument we had Barbara Roseman brought up that if we kind of give them something and all different work task forces give something to them, that they might be confused and might not be willing to cooperate at all. But, I mean, we're just here to finalize some set of questions which we can ask. And if they decide that this set of questions is too much for them to answer, they will tell us. But there's no way why we should presume that the questions aren't okay. So I don't know why we should be so cautious.
Calvin?
I'll disagree with Tom. I'm actually, can I go back to the end of the queue? I just want to think about all this.
Okay. Steve? Yeah, I
think what Tom has said, that the GAC is just another body inside ICANN, I understand that point of view, and in fact I think there's a lot to it, but I know a lot of people disagree with this, and there is a sense that from people that are closer to this issue than I am, that we have to be very careful, and we do have to kind of treat the GAC, if you will, if this expression is helpful, with kid gloves. I mean, I think we have to be very careful about it because there's a lot of political sensitivities about the role of the GAC vis-a-vis the ITU, vis-a-vis WSIS. I'm no expert on these issues. All I'm suggesting is that there is no need for us to rush through this and finalize something today on a text that was first circulated late Friday afternoon in the United States, and now it's Monday morning in the United States. And, maybe it was circulated, I guess, Friday night in, well, I don't know what time. I'm not sure which time zone was
involved
here.
It was circulated by the morning American time, in fact, on Friday.
I'm not opposed to asking questions of the GAC. I think we're actually fairly close on what those questions are. I have made a suggestion about how to accommodate Tom's concerns about use of the phrase data subject, and I'm willing to continue to discuss that, but I just don't think when we have two of the people who are supposed to provide us with some more information not here on this call, I don't think we should feel that we have to finalize it today. That's all.
Maggie?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say that I would like to have some time to really think over the questions because I saw it. It may have, in fact, come into my inbox either Friday morning or Friday afternoon or whatever the case may be, but I saw it first this morning, and I would like to have some more time to look at it. If there is a compelling reason why we need to rush and get these out, then I'm certainly open to hearing what that is. But if that is not the case, then I would like to, in fact, wait and hold off on that at least until our next call. Give myself some time to review it.
Calvin?
Yeah. There is a compelling time reason to move forward, and that we're on a deadline, and that we'd agreed in some of the earliest calls, I think. And Maggie, this isn't responsive to you. This is just in general. I was going to make this comment before you said anything. GAC is going to need the longest timeline probably to respond to the questions, just because there's a lot of stuff on their desks. And I thought we had an agreement among the task force to move these questions out as quickly as possible after the new year. And I think the sooner we get it on GAC's desk, the sooner we'll get answers back, and that we should get it out there before they're swamped by all sorts of other New Year's things. So I really feel a great pressure that we move these questions on to the next level, which is that, I mean, we had an agreement that edits would be posted by Friday. And Thomas definitely, I mean, the first set of questions was what I circulated way back on December 28th. I don't think Tom's questions I don't think they add anything to what I asked. I think they take away something, but they don't add anything. So I think we're still on the same page in terms of what we've been discussing, what's been posted since December 28th. He did meet the Friday deadlines, and I think that we should move forward to at least a text that people on the call are comfortable with so that we can have the modifications that we're all here, we're talking about it. You know, Tom posted, Steve, you posted edits. I've got to assume you posted edits kind of for the purpose of moving this forward. So I'd like to talk about things like domain name registrant versus data subject.
So what I'm hearing
is that... I just want to announce myself. It's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn. Thomas here. I, was volunteered to chair this. So I'm in charge of the queue for today. What I'm hearing so far is that people do feel they have convergence on a text for the GAC questions, but that at least two groups don't want to formally finalize things today. Since the questions that Tom posted didn't come out of nowhere, but I think reflect quite a bit of the discussions that happened on the past three or four conference calls, and since we have open questions and open discussions, which look like they may be resolvable on this call, I would propose that we move forward with discussing the changes on the first five questions that Steve had suggested. The question there is replacing Tom's wording of data subject by registrant, and adding for domain name registration purposes to several of the questions, and that we then have a look at Steve's sixth question. After that, I believe we also have to have another look at that course's schedule. Glenn, could you please help me? When is the task force supposed to report back to the council on the schedule by January 22nd? Is that right? Okay, that means this task force will have another call before the council meets, so we do not have no rush to finalize the timeline today. So unless we have objections, I would propose to first look at the wording issues we have with questions 1 to 5, trying to get as far as possible with these questions to the extent the people on this call who had a chance to read these questions are willing to go. Does this sound like a reasonable course of action to people, or do we have objections? I'm hearing no objections, so let me attempt to summarize the arguments I have heard on these questions. Steve's argument, I think we have agreement that the general replacement of registrant for data subject is too narrow, because data subject can include not just the registrant, but also the various contacts. So is there any wording proposal what could be replaced here? Tom or Steve, any ideas?
Thomas, I couldn't hear you. I'm really sorry.
Oh, did others also have problems, or
trying to
figure out on what end of the line the problem lies. So, can we move forward on the first five questions proposed by Tom with changes proposed by Steve, and do we have alternate wording instead of data subject as suggested by Tom, or instead of registrant as suggested by Steve?
Can I ask you to just clarify when we say move forward, meaning that we move these, but
the idea is that we reserve the option to have a second wave of questions, right?
By moving forward, I mean that we attempt to come to consensus on this call to the extent at all possible, and those people who get their requests in at this call would, well, I would hope that these people won't raise the same objections at future calls. Let me put it like this. I hope we can get, I would hope, the proposal is to attempt to get those issues sorted out at this call that we can sort out.
That part I understood, I'm sorry, but my question was, are you, when you say with this set of questions, were you assuming that we might develop a further set of questions at a later time? That was just the question I wanted to ask.
I was not suggesting this.
Okay, all right, okay.
But if you want to make the proposal, we can open it up for discussion.
No, I just wanted to understand your point.
Okay, so Tom and Steve, I would like to open up the arena for you two. Are Tom and Steve still on the call?
Yes, I am.
I'm still here, and I'm looking at this text now.
Stand with me.
Well, one suggestion I would have is to, working from the text that I circulated this morning, in question one would be to say, must a domain name registrant, comma, administrative or technical contact, comma, consent to the collection and processing, et cetera. And then on two, three, and four, you say registrant or contact. Those questions. So that takes into account the fact, which Tom pointed out, that this is not, you know, it's certainly possible that there would be personally identifiable data of someone other than the registrant in this material. And in fact, that's even contemplated in the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, which requires the registrant to tell the registrar that he, the registrant, has obtained the consent of any individuals named as administrator or technical contact. So I agree that this ought to be covered, and one way to do that is to say, must a domain name registrant, comma, administrative or technical contact, consent to the collection and processing, et cetera.
Yeah. Can I?
Tom?
Yeah, the only thing
I hear Marilyn, and she's in the queue afterwards. Tom, go ahead.
Okay. The only thing I would be scared about by having this phrasing is that I would think that most of the GAP representatives would refer those questions maybe to their privacy office, and they might not know what the registrar and administrator and whatever is. And as I put it in my response already, that subject is a term which is widely known, and the people understand what we're asking for. And I don't see that there's a difference, but it just explains it a bit better instead of confusing people with ICANN intern terms. Why don't we just use what they are used to use anyway?
Tom, can you, confusing people with ICANN specific terms, can you just say what you mean by that, and just give us an example?
Sure, not using registrar or registrant or admincy, because if you ask someone who's not his main job is to deal with domain names, but to see after privacy regulations, he probably doesn't know exactly what a registrant is and what the difference is between a registrant and an admincy.
Yeah, I know.
So it would be, but you know, it doesn't even matter whether it is the one or the other. It's just that there is a person, and as long as it's the private person, it's a other subject.
But you know, maybe what we need to do to simplify this, Tom, be to have, because in their language it would be data subject, okay? There's very specific language to the point you're making within the privacy regime if you're only a privacy expert. So maybe we could put in parentheses, a.k.a. data subject. because any of the people who are going to have to respond won't be privacy experts, and they may need the other word that they recognize. Would that be a way to address that?
Hello, Amadeo.
I'm sorry for killing you here, but we have to open up a queue. So who wants to speak?
Kathy.
Steve.
I do have a follow-up question.
And Steve, and
yes.
Tom, that's a response directly to Marilyn?
Yeah.
Okay, since it was, we'll still put you in the end of the queue since Marilyn was responding to Steve directly, so I think that's easiest if we just keep the order, if you don't disagree. Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
No, I think with Amadeus.
I had you first in the queue, but if you want to swap, please, Amadeo.
Amadeo, please.
Okay. Tom, my problem is that we don't know where this will be sent. It probably will be sent to privacy officers or perhaps to their, you know, local NICs. So we really don't know. The best thing is just to define what we're talking about, because if we assume they know what's registered, or we assume was a data subject, it might go to the wrong end and, you know, just create confusion. As a matter of fact, I think that the more neutral denomination like domain name holder and other roles like administrative contact and billing contact, and these being defined somewhere, it's the better approach to take here.
Okay. Kathy?
Okay. Online, real-time drafting. Okay, as Tom pointed out, the introduction is critical here, and we assume people are going to read that first. So we're laying out not just the domain name registrant, not just the domain name holder, but other people involved, administrative and technical contacts. why don't we define those above as data subjects and then use the data subject language going down? Steve, for clarity, but because data subject really is the universal term. That's the term that's referred to in the text, not just by privacy people. I mean, that's how people refer to their laws generally. If we really do need further refinement, then just as an example, Steve, what about must the data subject and then keeping your in connection with domain name registration? Because that would keep the broader language. I'll read the whole thing. Must the data subject consent to the collection and processing of his or her data in connection with the domain name registration? That would cover, especially if we define the term above, that would cover all three forms of contact, if not more. Billing contact may be an issue here as well. So I'm trying to offer a compromise between the two. But I really think the data subject language is the universal language, and I think we do have to worry about who's receiving this and being as knowledgeable as possible about their language.
Steve is next on the queue.
Yeah, my concern about the data subject language is that it presupposes the answer to a question about whether the law is applicable. And I think if someone doesn't know what a registrant or administrative or technical contact is, how are they going to answer the question of what the applicable law is and what the law requires if they don't know what it is that we're asking? And how are they ever going to be able to answer it? So I think we need to have those technical, you know, those references to registrant and the contacts in there. I think there were two suggestions. One was to say AKA data subject, and the other was to perhaps to define above that, you know, in the following questions we'll refer to this as the data subject. Maybe we could do that. But I just don't want to make the assumption that about where this fits in a particular privacy law. We also don't know really to whom this question is going to be directed, and in many countries, it may or may not be directed to someone who resonates with the term data subject. So let's ask about what we're asking about. We're asking about information on the domain name registrant and these administrative and technical contacts, according to the preface. So I think that's what we should ask about.
Tom?
Yeah. Could we agree on that we just do it in the preface, that we make some kind of a definition like you normally do in contracts, so that we say, I think that what you just suggested anyway is that you say, well, we're looking after the registrant entity, whatever, called in the further text or referred to in the further text as data subject, period. Would that be enough to clarify this? I mean, we have both terms in there then.
I think that's most direct. This is Steve.
I think that would be an improvement because then it's clear that when we use this term, it's clear what we're referring to. So we said referred to for convenience below as a data subject. I think that would help, and I think we should keep in question one the reference to domain name registration, and in question five.
How about the following? We keep, in general, we keep the term data subject, but we clarify it, say, in question one, basically taking up Marilyn's approach and saying, must a data subject bracket registrant, comma, administrative contact, comma, technical contact, comma, billing contact, closing bracket, consent to the collection and processing of its data in connection with domain name registration.
Then you can just take out the in connection with domain name registration because it's redundant. Sorry. Once you modified it that way.
I don't mind the redundancy if it gets us to a result. So can we, would this be acceptable on questions 2 and 3 and 4 would then just talk about data subject? Do people want to comment on this?
Did I understand you right that you would do it in the preface or do you want to do it?
I think I would do it in the first question actually. Just as an explanation behind data subject where it first occurs. Must data subjects, bracket, I.E. domain name registrant, comma, administrative contact, comma, technical contact, comma, billing contact, closing bracket, consent to the collection and processing of its data in connection with domain name registration, and questions 2 to 4 could then go on as originally drafted by Tom. That would be the proposal.
Well, I'm not comfortable referring to these, making the conclusion that these are data subjects. I think under the laws of most European countries, what is listed in the technical contact, for example, contains no data subject.
Well, but it might.
It might, in most cases it doesn't under the laws of most countries. Now, the fact that in Austria it might for some of these
well, you know, if it might
we're
in Germany, it's good enough for me.
Well, that's fine for you, Tom, but I think we're trying to come up with a policy that's applicable worldwide, and we're not looking at this through the lens of one particular country. You know, you're free to ask your German data protection representatives anything you want and bring it into this process. I have no problem with that. But we're trying to ask a question here for all of the countries that are participating in the GATT. So I'm not comfortable making the assumption that these are data subjects in all these cases. I think the better way to do it is to ask about what we're asking about, which is registrant and the contact information. If we want to say that we'll refer to that for convenience as data subject, I guess we could do that if people are worried that the question is too ungainly otherwise. But I want to avoid any conclusion that we're saying that these are all subject to all these laws. That's what we're asking about. That's not what we're concluding.
I think the text that Steve offered earlier within the body of the introduction, what was the text, Steve, referred to for convenience in the text below as, quote, data subjects, close quote. I mean, you offered it. It definitely clarifies it. It also makes it clear that it's not a legal judgment that we're making. Do you still accept the change that you offered?
Well, Well, I think that's better than just saying data subject without explaining what we mean by it now.
Okay. Can that replace what Thomas was offering? Just, as, you know, so we've defined it. We haven't made any judgments. We just put it in one place. It's not that long a document.
So the text will say, in general, these data elements may include, et cetera, and then the main and registrant, administrative and technical contact, and billing contact.
No, with apologies, Thomas, I think we're wiping that out. I think one will, Steve, am I right? As you offered it, one would be must a data subject consent to, but above, right underneath,
yes,
what we talked about.
I am above that. I am in the introduction, Kevin.
Oh, I apologize. Okay.
I was in the second paragraph of the introduction and was trying to fix language there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay.
So we would add language behind the sentence that begins with in general, and this would just list the various contacts, including the registrant, and say we are referred to below as data subjects. Is that acceptable to everyone?
For convenience, I think, was the language that Kathy mentioned.
Okay. Referred to for convenience as data subjects. For convenience. And then we can accept questions 1 to 4 as Thomas had suggested then, right?
Well, subject to the caveat that I don't think we need to finalize these today because of the other issues that I mentioned earlier, but I'm prepared to work on that.
Well, unless new issues come up.
Well, Thomas, I don't want to repeat myself, but I mentioned before that we had two outstanding assignments for our chairman, or he volunteered, I think, to find out two things about how to pose these questions to the GAC and what had already been asked of the GAC. And we don't need to send out these questions this week before we get that feedback. So
I'd like to make a motion. Why don't we, that since Jordan isn't here and I know he wouldn't want to delay what's going on, I'd like to make a motion that we decide on the text and bring it to the GAC's, who is, help me with the wording, the chair of the GAC's who is working group? And talk with her either formally or informally about the phrasing so we can at least move it forward from us to a next level.
Thomas, I'd like to make a comment. Are you managing a queue?
I am normally, so if there is anyone who wants to go into the queue after Marilyn, please speak up now.
Guys, with all due respect for the industry and by that I mean the energy of any particular task force, the issue of interacting with the GAC is a council process issue, and I think we can finalize the text, but we really need to have a thoughtful process on behalf of council in how we lob requests into the GAC. Isn't Barbara on the call?
No.
I know that Barbara had a conversation with Bruce Tonkin about this issue because I had an email confirm. I had asked if that conversation had taken place. The topic will be on the agenda at our call on the 22nd. Why don't we work on finalizing the text and being ready to go so that by that time, undoubtedly, we'll have an idea on what the process is. It's probably going to be working with the liaison, but our priority, I think, ought to be to get the content finalized.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. This is what I'm trying to do. So do we have any more changes we want to make to questions 1 to 4? We currently have We currently seem to have some kind of agreement to define data subject as a term used for convenience in the introductory text to use questions 1 to 4 as Tom suggested them. Is there any more discussion on questions 1 to 4? Then we have question 5. Steve had suggested another change here, and this change consisted in adding the word in connection with domain name registration to this sentence, and I believe Tom had a concern about this. So I will first ask Tom to speak to that, and we'll then open a queue.
Thanks.
Tom?
Yeah, it's the only problem I have with that wording is that I guess it's just a little bit too narrow. I mean, transferring data from one point on the Earth to another point of the Earth is a more like a general thing, and has nothing to do with whether it is a domain name registration or not. So I think we should ask a straightforward question whether there are restrictions. And I mean, after we already talked about who is and about registrants, and it should be implicit that they know what exactly we're talking about. So I don't see a reason why we should restrict that on just domain name registrations.
So you're reading the question as worded by Steve as meaning regulation specific to domain name registration as opposed to regulation that may be applicable.
That's
is
correct.
That a concern?
That's a concern.
Okay. Anyone want to speak to that? Queue is open.
This is Steve.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah.
I'm not hearing anyone but Steve who wants to speak on that, so Steve, go ahead, please.
Maybe the best way to address Tom's concern is just to say, is there any applicable regulation on the transmittal of personal data in connection with domain name registration to other countries? We just want us to. I think he's assuming an answer to a question by saying, well, transmitting to another country is transmitting to another country because it may depend on the kind of data involved. So let's ask what are the rules that would apply to transmitting this type of data to other countries. That's what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about other things, other types of international transmissions.
Tom? I'll open the queue after Tom has responded.
Okay, cool.
I have Kathy there. Tom?
Maybe I can swap with Kathy and trying to arrange my mind there.
So anyone else but Kathy who wants to talk to this point? Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Okay. Again, I'm kind of getting lost in the words, but that word applicable makes a lot of sense and brings clarity. And so to help me stop getting lost in the words, I went back to Tom's original version, and the word applicable seems to fit better there. So let me read to you a revised version. Is there any applicable regulation on the transmittal of personal data to other countries? I think that's a clear question.
Tom, do you want to add anything to that? Or do you want to, or should I ask Steve first?
Well, I could, that's a worrying I certainly could live with, but if we really want to narrow it down, I would say that we make a wording including electronical transmittal. If we really want to narrow it down, because that is exactly what it is. It's an electronical transmittal of data. And the question is not whether it's a domain name or not. It's a question that it is a transmittal from one country to another, and it's done electronically. So if you want to narrow it down, it should be in that direction, not to specify the domain name.
It should be probably kept in mind that we are asking all these questions within a context and with a introductory text. So, Steve, do you want to add anything?
Yes. I think Kathy's question is clear, but it's not the right question. The right question is, what are the rules that apply in this situation? It's not what are the rules that apply to transmittal generally or even to electronic transmittal generally. I think everyone's assuming that the answer is the same, that all data is treated the same under the laws of all countries. That's not true. And we're not really concerned with how, for example, national security data would be treated. We're not concerned with how financial data would be treated. We're not concerned with how health information would be treated. We're concerned with how this information is collected in connection with domain name registration would be treated. That's the question we want answered, so why don't we ask it?
Doesn't the word applicable that you offered, doesn't that
address it? Yes,
as long
as it says in connection with domain name registration, because otherwise it's basically what applies to the transmit to the cross-border traffic and data, and that's a much broader question than we need to be asking here.
Any responses to this?
It's Marilyn.
Anyone else? Marilyn?
Beth, I spent 4 years working on the safe harbor issues, and and I will say that Steve is right. We need to be very, I think you're right, we need to be specific and targeted in what we're asking.
Anyone else? Is anyone of those who have not spoken on this issue willing to offer an opinion? I think we have a number of people who are silent on this call on this issue, and maybe one of you wants to add something to this. Maggie or David? Or Amadeo?
Nope.
Nothing further.
So we have Tom, go ahead.
I was just going to suggest that we just go on with the question as Steve phrased in the beginning and just leave it like that. And I guess that most of the gag reps and the people concerned with this question will know what we're asking for. So just to shorten up the discussion, why don't we just use this, the first attempt, the first edits Steve made on my question. I move on.
One including applicable.
Sorry?
You mean the one including applicable, pending, let's say grammatical review?
Well, I would say number 5, as I read it, as Steve posted it to the list, is there any regulation on the transmittal of personal data in connection with domain name registrations to other countries?
In that case, I think I would like to propose that we do take in Steve's applicable refinement here and say, is there any regulation on the transmittal of personal data to other countries applicable in connection with domain name registration?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make it clear that we are not asking for a regulation which specifically asks, that was Tom's original concern, I believe, but that it becomes clear that we are asking about any regulation which is applicable here. Is that fine with everybody?
That's fine with me.
Tom?
It's fine with me as well, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I just want to note we're over an hour on the call.
Yeah.
So I'll just want to note that.
We are 1:20 into the call, in fact. So we had a 6th question proposed by... I'm operating under the assumption that the call was scheduled for 1.5 hours, by the way. So if that's wrong, please correct me. Steve had suggested a 6th question, and maybe you want to introduce that.
Yes, thank you. The 6th question I proposed has to do with what law is applicable when... I'll just read the question. Does the applicability of the law of your country depend on the location or nationality of the registrant, the registrar, or the registry? How would the applicable law be determined in a situation in which these three parties are located in different countries? And I think this is an important part of the picture that we're trying to discern here, because there will be many instances in which the registrant will be in a different country than the registrar, the registry will be in yet another country, and one of those countries is the country that we're directing the question to. So each country has its own rules about the applicability of law in those situations, so that, I think, is an important part of the picture.
Can we open a queue on that? Who wants to speak?
Kathy.
Anyone else? Kathy, go ahead.
It's a good question. It's fine. I just changed the word registrant to data subject to be consistent with the other questions, and also to encompass administrative contact and technical contact.
Any other comments? Steve, comment on Kathy's proposal?
I think that's fine.
Do we have agreement on that question?
I agree.
So we have question 5, the addition, basically as drafted by Steve with the modified wording I had read. And question 6, we replace registrant by data subject. And with that, I think we are as far as we can get today with the GAC questions. Or do we have any other proposals or discussions with this? Okay, do we have any other business for today?
Well, I think the what's unfinished here, I think we're still awaiting this cover letter, and as soon as we get that, perhaps on the list, we can finalize the questions to go out to the constituencies, right, or to the registrars. Well, maybe we need to see what the whole package looks like.
I'm
trying to think of what the next step is here.
I guess we best move the discussion of questions for the constituencies to the list, and pending feedback from Jordan on the deliverables he had promised, we may also attempt to finalize the GAC questions on the list, or if absolutely necessary, on the next call. So that brings us to the schedule of the next call. Glenn, were there any arrangements already for the next call, for the time slot?
No. Would you like to keep the same time slot next Monday?
Let me address that. We need to stick as close as possible, I believe, to the same time, because we've otherwise got conflicts for you and Barbara.
I think we have been oscillating a little between 5:30 p.m. my 5 p.m. my time and 5:30,
yes,
or 11 a.m. and 11:30 Eastern time. Is there any particular preference among those on this call for any one of these times?
With apologies, I do need to move the call as early as possible. We've been oscillating between 11 and 11:30 Washington time. So, Marilyn, if 11:15 is possible, as early as we can push it, at least for the next call.
Sure.
Okay.
Can I point out that next Monday is a federal holiday in the United States?
Oh, well.
It's only a federal holiday in the U.S.
Yeah, in the U.S.
Europe is working
out, so.
There. So people should have less meetings.
Good point.
What sort of holiday do you have this time?
It's Martin Luther King's birthday.
Oh.
I will be working. I can do the call, but I don't know about others. Not everybody works in the U.S. on that day.
Hey, this is Maggie. I will be out of town and unable to attend.
So can we do it on Tuesday, maybe?
Tuesday is Task Force 1. We have some overlaps there.
I'm in the U.S. I can make it.
So why don't we, Glenn, why don't we tentatively schedule a call for 11:15 Washington time?
Hey.
I think I hear the agreement between...
Thomas, why don't we make it 11, since it's a holiday, I won't have my other conflict.
Oh, great. So we can schedule a call for 11 Washington time next Monday, and if too many people can't make the call, I will leave it to Jordan to move it to another date. Can we live with that?
Okay.
Okay, great. So I think we can then finish the call, or is there anything else? Okay, thanks everybody, and next time it will be Jordan again, I hope.
Thomas, before we go, can I ask people for just an informal poll on who will be able to be in Rome? If people...
I'll be there.
Glenn, maybe the thing to do would be to post that question to all three of the task forces.
I'll do that, Marilyn, yes.
You may have covered this before I got on the call, but
would be helpful if you told me now from this call.
Okay.
You probably will be there.
David Maher will be there.
David Maher, yes.
Marilyn?
I'm available.
Nicholas? Tom Keller.
Steve Metallitz, probably.
Both ELAC people, I suppose.
Oh, Wendy, as well as you?
I think we have fairly full funding, so okay. We should all be there.
So that makes practically everybody on this call.
Kathy?
I think Kathy has dropped
off. She's dropped off.
Had to drop off early, so Glenn can follow up with her by email.
Good. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay. Thank you guys for your time. We are 1.5 hours into a call, which, was scheduled for whatever.
Yes.
And, I will leave Agenda and length of the next call to join. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.